Yeah, I could see because you have those foundational elements built already.
This just hasn't happened before. And so the way that we consume media today.
And so as that's kind of taken off and it's seen as much success as it's seen.
That do work with the Chosen, and I absolutely admire and respect.
Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Today on the show, I'm going to be talking with Jeff Peters. He's the global marketing director of Jesus, the new animated film produced by Jesus Film Project. Jeff, thanks for being on the show.
Zach, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you today.
Yeah, to kick us off, can you just kind of tell us a little bit about Jesus Film Project? What's the origin story behind that? And then get into this new animated production and talk about what you're excited about with what God's doing there.
Sure. Jesus Film Project really got its start out of a vision that God gave to the ministry leadership around Campus Crusade for Christ in the mid-1970s that ultimately resulted in the release of a film called Jesus. At the time, film was booming, people started going to the cinema a lot more, and there was this opportunity to actually put the gospel out in visual form and see if that would scratch an itch, to see if that would be something that would actually bring people to know who Jesus was. And so the ministry of Jesus Film Project came out of that initial film called Jesus, which came out in 1979. Since then, the film itself has expanded, it's grown into over 2,100 languages. It's now the most translated and most watched film in human history. If you can imagine taking any film and wrapping 40 years of intentionality around it, you could imagine that type of potential impact. And so it's incredible that God has used the team of Jesus Film Project for the last 40 years to take that film, the gospel message of our Lord and Savior, to every country and across 2,100 languages, to really just see lives changed as a result.
I didn't realize that it was in that many languages. That's crazy. I mean, I knew it was in a lot, but
2,100.
goodness gracious.
Yeah, we are now at 2,147, I believe, as of today. If you are interested and your listeners are interested, you can always download the Jesus Film app, which has not just that original film, but lots of other projects. And right there on the home screen, you can see how many languages the film is in as of that day, because there are literally teams around the world who are out there recording new languages, even right now, trying to continue to move the gospel in this visual form into more and more languages every day.
That's cool. And so as that's kind of taken off and it's seen as much success as it's seen, what kind of spurred on the new film Jesus and inspired the creation of this animated version?
Animation has taken hold of filmmaking in a fresh way today versus the way you might have imagined animated films from decades and decades ago. Now, animation is really an art form that speaks to multiple generations. It's not just something that's just for kids. You get full families involved in seeing animated films. One of the other great things that we've noticed as we've been launching into this project is, people resonate with animation in a way that is easier. There are fewer hurdles to connect with a character in an animated film than there are in a live action film. So if the person in the live action film doesn't quite look like you, or doesn't quite sound like you, or isn't quite from the same place as you, it can be tougher to get over those hurdles versus an animated depiction. And so for those reasons, and ultimately wrapping around some of the new technologies, which I'll happy to share about in just a second here, we felt like it was time. We felt like after 40 years, it was time to provide a reimagining of that original film, Jesus. So the original film was about 2 hours long. This animated reimagining will be about 90 minutes in length. Both are based almost exclusively on the Gospel of Luke. Okay. Both will be in multiple languages. Our hope for this reimagined telling will be 100 languages, close to the time of release, if not at release. Okay. And then ultimately in 2100 languages over the next few years. But animation also gives us the opportunity to do something today that we've never been able to do before. This film will be actually produced, created, crafted in a way that has never been done before. We have the filmmakers themselves, the team working on this is a combination of Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, animators working alongside biblical historians, theologians, and some of the leading biblical archaeologists in the world. This actually allows us to recreate in an animated space Capernaum or Jerusalem or the Via Dolorosa, these portions of our biblical narrative that are going to actually be created to look as they would have looked in those days. Even if you were to film on location today, you're filming on the ruins of something that's, 2,000 years old or more. So by being able to actually work with some of these creators, we're actually going to be able to place people into the live or By recreating the film in an animated way, we're actually going to be able to take people from today and allow them to reimagine what it would be like to sit at the feet of Jesus, to actually be walking on those roads with the disciples. And part of the thing that's going to allow us to do that more than anything else is that this film is actually being created inside a software called Unreal Engine.
Okay.
And Unreal Engine is a gaming platform creator for the most part. But it is the software that allows you to make a choice in a video game. Do I want to turn right or left? And so because we're creating this film in that three-dimensional environment, you'll actually be able to put on glasses and sit at the feet of Jesus and be in the crowd at the crucifixion or be in the room at the Last Supper or walk the road and hear from our Lord and Savior speaking the words that are straight out of the Gospel of Luke, just like he spoke to his disciples. You'll actually be able to experience that in a three-dimensional way.
Oh, interesting.
So we're excited because this just hasn't happened before. And so the way that we consume media today is just going to continue to advance. And so we're trying to create a film that's going to stand the test of time that will actually allow future generations to immerse themselves in the gospel like never before.
Yeah, was that kind of some of the thinking behind going animated versus just recreating what you had done with Jesus Film Project and the original film, that whole experiential hole in the market that the original film wasn't filling?
I think that's a big part of it. It's also recognizing that the market opportunity there today, there's an expectation for the way that we're going to consume media, not just today, but also tomorrow and going forward. You can see the way technology is going. And for us to be able to provide that opportunity for people to immerse themselves in the gospel. I mean, you think about it. We've seen some major developments over the centuries that have really pushed the gospel forward. We've seen the invention of the Roman roads that actually allowed the disciples to carry the gospel from city to city. We've seen the invention of the Gutenberg printing press, which actually allowed people to read the gospel for the first time. In a similar way, our hope is that through this film, people will be able to experience the gospel in a way that's never before been possible. So we're trying to follow along with where technology is going and make sure that we have a gospel narrative wrapped up and available as technology continues to move forward.
So because you're using Unreal Engine, you'll be able to consume the will you be able to move within the space, or is it just a 360 environment? Like, walk us through that a little bit more in detail.
Yeah, so I mean, just like with, so technology is not at the place yet where you can go to the movies and strap on some goggles and everybody chooses their own adventure in the film. That's not quite the way where we're at here. So this will be a film that you can watch from start to finish like you would in a traditional film. But on the side, in addition, there's going to be those experiential opportunities where you can walk in, you can walk down Via Dolorosa, you can turn to the right or to the left, you can see where Simon picked up Jesus's cross and carried it forward. You can see some of those great moments happen both as an outsider watching in, but then also giving you the flexibility to be able to turn and wonder, well, why is the architecture of that building like that? And we're even imagining where you should be able to like touch a button and say, oh, well, the architecture looks like this because the latest archaeological discoveries show us that the way that archways were created were like this, the way that ceiling tiles were like this. We're actually imagining that one person on the film said it's actually going to be the nerdiest Bible study in human history. Because you're going to be able to walk in and actually see a representation of these places in a way that's as biblically accurate as is possible based on current archaeological findings.
That's amazing. What would you say makes the portrayal of Jesus, this new animated film, unique compared to some of the other film depictions that exist? For example, The Chosen is really popular right now. What is unique about what you guys are doing beyond just the animation and that experiential aspect?
Yeah, I have good friends that do work with The Chosen, and I absolutely admire and respect the dedication that they have to put together what ultimately will be 7 seasons of 8 episodes and tons of content that they have to infer based on historical narrative, based on what we know of culture at the time. And they've got a great process that they go through to make sure that that some of the license that they take is within the realm of likelihood for those times. One of the things that is very different about this is it's a 90-minute film versus a 56-episode series that The Chosen eventually will be. But all of the audio that you're going to hear from all the words that Jesus speaks in our film are straight from Scripture. There is no extra biblical content. And I think that's one of the things that is true about the original film, the 1979 film, which has ultimately allowed it to become as widely seen, as widely endorsed as it has been. You've got the Roman Catholic Church, the evangelical churches. You've got every corner of Christendom not really struggling with the original film because it's just based on... it's straight out of Scripture. There's nothing extra. And because we're talking about a 90-minute film, in our case, it really allows us the freedom to just stick straight to Scripture. Honestly, the hardest part, more than anything, is trying to figure out what gospel portions, like what stories, there's so much that you could tell. What do you put in a 90-minute film as you're trying to get from the birth of Christ through his death, resurrection, and ascension in 90 minutes, what do you leave out? There has been some incredible conversations and actually a lot of rich a rich learning as we've talked with church leaders around the world from an African context who have said, oh, actually, this parable, super important for our culture, or this story, fairly important for our culture. And so trying to piece it all together from the gospel narrative into a 90-minute film, that's been probably the biggest challenge. But I would say the biggest difference is it is 100% gospel.
Does animation, because it's animated, does that free you up then in the future after the release of this to go and add some of those pieces or make secondary, maybe episodic, for the lack of a better term, pieces of content that could fill in those gaps where you had to remove pieces, or does animation make it more difficult to recreate some of that?
No, animation definitely makes it more possible, at least the way that we're doing this, because we're talking about animation in a 3D mm-hmm. sense through the Unreal Engine. We're building a three-dimensional Capernaum. We're building a three-dimensional right. Jerusalem. We're building three-dimensional characters. So it's almost like we're going to have a digital back lot
yeah.
to film other productions in the future. And so we're looking forward to what God wants to lead us to be doing in the future. The likelihood is that this film, Jesus, is just the starting point
yeah.
Of a much larger and wider opportunity for portraying more gospel stories.
Yeah, I could see, because you have those foundational elements built already, being able to tell other stories or some of those pieces that you had to leave out, because those foundational elements already exist, to be able to add pieces of content in the future, seems like it would be a little bit easier than being tied to actors and the big production that comes with real live action film.
100%. You're spot on, and especially because we're crafting it in such a way that we're anticipating that as we move forward. So there's an intentionality to that. It's definitely not a happy accident.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's a really exciting opportunity. So with that kind of possibility, then I'm sure you're having the conversations of, all right, do we add additional pieces of content, or does the priority become, let's focus on recreating all these languages? Like, is that where a lot of the decision-making is made, and what to prioritize first?
Yeah. One of the great things about, because we're sticking to the Gospel of Luke as the primary mm-hmm. foundation, and the original film, the 1979 film, has that same script bed, if you will, we anticipate being able to reutilize a great amount of the existing audio track cool. across those 2,100 languages. So ramping up to 2,100 languages in this animated film is something that we anticipate will happen in a matter of a few years,
yeah.
a few decades, as this happened the first time around. So that does give us the freedom to imagine, well, then, mm-hmm. then what else? What are those other stories? What sort of imagined extra piece should you produce if you're wanting to share this film inside a Muslim context? What extra piece would you want to create if you're trying to share this film with an audience that's coming from a predominantly Hindu context? How do you use some of the existing assets to create something that allows the audience who's coming from a different worldview to actually watch the film and step into it in a way where they go, oh my goodness, now there's some dots that are connecting that never really connected for me before, or maybe if I've heard the story before or whatever else. But, you know, we know enough to know that, you know, if you study traditional missions over the last several decades and really centuries, there are different ways of presenting the gospel depending upon the context of who you're talking to. I mean, this is the center point of marketing, right? We're always trying to know who is your audience and how do I connect the story of who this Jesus is in a way that actually resonates strongly with the audience you're trying to speak into. So it really gives us a lot of flexibility to be able to make sure that we're always helping to put the gospel's best foot forward and connecting it and creating that bridge to the audience that really needs to hear and understand it.
Yeah, that's cool. Man, this is exciting. Well, Jeff, I want to make sure we take a moment to hear from today's sponsor. But when we come back, let's continue our discussion on this new project and what you guys got going on at Jesus Film Project. Hey, ministry leaders. Today's episode is sponsored by Click Nonprofit. Are you looking to grow your ministry but don't have the money or marketing knowledge to make that happen? There's good news. Google offers an advertising grant to churches and ministries that is worth $10,000 per month. This means that if your ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, you are eligible to receive $120,000 per year in free advertising dollars. This allows you to place ads at the top of Google search results page and drive thousands of visitors to your ministry website every month. Our sponsor, Click Nonprofit, helps your ministry acquire this Google ad grant and then manages your Google ads to ensure you get the most out of the grant. Schedule a free consultation at clicknonprofit.com to learn more about how this grant can help your specific ministry. Mention the Ministry Growth Show when you sign up and get 20% off your first 3 months of management. All right, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Jeff Peters of Jesus Film Project and the new animated project, Jesus. Jeff, as we get back into this, can you just walk us through maybe the process of creating a film like this from concept to production?
Yeah, in our case, Zach, we began the process with the script being the Gospel of Luke, primarily the Gospel of Luke. There's actually some additional scripture portions, such as we pulled the Great Commission from Matthew.
Okay.
And there's some other pieces, but it really begins with the script and what are the things that we want to make sure, those elements of scripture that we want to make sure are in there. From that point, it then goes into more of the story boarding and the story reel process, you know, story reel, you know, those sketches, mm-hmm. then finally into animated drawings. And then the colorization and really trying to then recreating the entire thing inside the Unreal Engine. It's been a tremendous process, and I've learned a lot watching some of these experts in their field. But I think that some of the stuff that's been the most exciting for me has been watching the way these industry-leading experts in terms of animation. I mean, the films that these animators have been a part of, every single person in your listening audience will have heard of these films, and they've watched most of mm-hmm. them. These are Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar animators that are at the top of their trade. And then you put them right alongside some of the most well-known and respected biblical historians and archaeologists who can actually say, no, you know, the Roman roads wouldn't have looked like that. Mm. They would have looked like this. Or the archaeological expedition from last year dug up a pot that looked in this shape. Let's make sure we get that into the film. I mean, down to the latest details we can find. And so just watching God bring the skill set of all these various trades together to retell this greatest story ever told has been amazing to me. So that's been probably the biggest piece of the process for me. Of watching as we go from start to finish, how archaeologists and biblical historians are pressing into the story. Mm-hmm. And then these Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar animators and designers are able to bring to life what was true 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's been an amazing process to watch.
Yeah. Can you talk about maybe some of the stylistic choices that were made along the process? We talked about this offline, but how do you navigate the balance of staying true to biblical narrative and making the story accessible to a wide audience? And we discussed this stylistic choices and maybe some of the changes that you might make depending on the culture that this is playing in. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, Zach, you know, we know the reality of Jesus Christ. His person has been depicted. The person of Christ has been depicted in art for over 2,000 years. Mm. And so we've been able to pull from, I mean, some of the most historical imagery related to the image of Christ, but also to do it in a way, we've made some stylistic choices where the look and feel of this film, although these are animators that have made some of the animated films I've already kind of talked about, or through some of those companies that I've talked about, there's a very intentional focus on making a look that is timeless and classic, as opposed to, you know, a character whose eyes are half the size of their head. those there's certain things you notice in certain animations. You're like, that's really not how human dimensions are formed, but you know, it works great for the film. This is not going to be that. But at the same time, it's not going to cross over into the uncanny realm of that looks too close to human that now I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So these are experts that are really trying to piece this together and walk a fine line and do it in a beautiful, artistic, and classic way. That said, we're also talking about how do we... If the film is eventually going to be in 2,100 and more languages, and it's going to be seen by cultures around the world, are there stylistic choices we can make that will help different cultures be more receptive? Mm-hmm. So we haven't made any decisions yet on this, but we also foresee there could be room down the road for making some stylistic choices to like the music bed. So the background sounds and that you might hear as the disciples are walking down the street, should that have a more Eastern sound if the film is going to be, if that translation is for a language that's more prominent in Eastern part of the world, mm-hmm. versus maybe some sounds that might be more prominent to the West or whatever else. So we're just trying to play with some of those things. Again, no decisions have been made, but at the end of the day, this is a ministry tool that happens to be a film.
Right.
And so when you come at it from that perspective, your goal is how do we help make sure that people can connect with the life of Jesus in a way that stirs their heart for who he was and what his promises are. It's not just about going to see a film. It's about helping them to encounter and experience and connect with our Lord and Savior in a way that has never really before been possible.
Hmm. Will you, you're not going to have to watch the film with like VR goggles or anything like that every time. That's, it sounds like that's a possibility, but it will be able to be played just on a screen or a TV or.
Yes. Yeah. I would say those VR opportunities are going to be there, but I would see them as okay. Those are extensions of the film, if you will. Yeah. But it's still a 90-minute film. You can hit play and watch it with your family. And but then you'll also be able to jump on somewhere and go to the next level and actually immerse yourself. I get really excited. I have a 4-year-old okay. and a 2-year-old, and I get really excited about them putting on goggles and being able to literally learn yeah. at the feet of Jesus. I shouldn't say literally. It's not quite literal, but to immersively bring themselves alongside our Lord and Savior in a way that's just never before been possible. I'm just really excited about
that's
that.
That's amazing. What are some of the other ways in which you guys are leveraging some maybe more modern filmmaking techniques to engage with modern audiences?
Well, I think part of it is one of those pieces is actually the length of the film as well. I mean, a 90-minute animation is going to be an important piece. Our target age range is going to be, although it is a family film, we're trying to always keep 9 to 12-year-olds in mind. Okay. But with that, you know, we've done a lot of research already. We've actually went out to six different countries and performed focus groups with parents who would identify themselves as non-Christian. So they could be from any number of other belief sets. But we learned a lot by just talking with them about what makes the decisions, like what helps you make a decision for what type of movie you want to see as a family? Who makes the decision in your family about who's going to see the film? What makes a good film that you're going to see? And ultimately all the way through to, you know, if there was a movie about the life of Jesus, is that something that you would be interested in your children seeing? Mm. Remarkably, we've heard across the board, absolutely. In fact, what we've heard from most parents is that they believe part of their goal, part of their role as a parent is to expose their children to different worldviews, different perspectives, different ideologies, so that the children can be firmly rooted in whatever decisions are being made. And what we've heard from parents time and time again, especially if they're not a Christian, they say, I've heard of Jesus. Maybe I've heard of his love, his compassion. These are things I would love my children to understand. Mm-hmm. But since I'm not a Christian, I don't have the ability to tell them about who Jesus was. So if there was a film that could do that, it would be amazing. I would be happy to share this film with my kids. So that has helped us make decisions about, it's not just the things that Jesus has done. You know, the Gospel of Luke tells us a lot about the types of things Jesus did. Mm-hmm. But the Gospel of John tends to maybe focus more on the way Jesus lived and the nature of who he was. And so making sure to bring out some of those components in the film as we're hearing from parents to say, oh, his compassion, his love, to make sure that people are experiencing Jesus in a Christ-centered, in the way that we all would hope that they would experience Jesus. It's not just about what he does, you know, it's about who he was. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Well, hey, I want to take one last break for today's sponsor, but when we come back, we'll continue this discussion and start talking about, I want to get into some storytelling structure stuff with you. So stay tuned. Hey, church leaders. Today's episode is sponsored by Kingdom Stories. When it comes to your digital marketing and content strategies, have you ever wondered how you can use the power of storytelling and testimony? Imagine the impact. Stories and testimonies that resonate, that move hearts and minds. Testimonies that prepare people to receive gospel truths. Here's the problem. You're busy doing ministry and you don't have time to worry about your content strategies. And you definitely don't have time to worry about one more program. You already have too much on your plate. And the consequences? You're not taking full advantage of digital. The content you do post gets ignored. You have no plan or strategy for your digital engagement. And ultimately, God doesn't get the glory he deserves because we're not testifying of his transformational and redemptive work. What would it look like if your people knew how to share their testimony? Your monthly content strategies were filled with stories instead of self-promotional content. And your content was focused on your people and God's work in their lives. What if your content was actually engaging because it was story-driven? Kingdom Stories is more than a service. It's a catalyst for transformative digital communication. Stories change lives. Stories are engaging. And everyone has a story. What has happened in my life can happen in your life too. Here's the best part. You don't have to do the heavy lifting. Kingdom Stories will handle everything from start to finish. If you want to learn more or get our free content strategy map that will outline the entire process, go to kingdomstories.us. We know how overwhelming and frustrating content strategies and digital marketing can be, so we've solved that problem for you. Stop creating aimless content. Let us help you tell the stories coming out of your ministry. Let stories and testimonies fuel your church's digital outreach. Welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. We've been talking with Jeff Peters of Jesus Film Project. Jeff, as we get back into the conversation and wrap up the conversation, Jesus Film Project has a mission to mobilize millions to reach billions. How does this film contribute to that mission?
Yeah, Zach, I wouldn't say that's our true mission statement right now, but it's certainly the mission around this new film. We have recognized that while there are somewhere in the neighborhood, depending on whose numbers you look at, 3 billion least reached in the world, 3 billion people who have not yet or who live outside the range of a church or an active Christian witness in their life, the best way to actually reach them is to do it through the body of Christ. I mean, this sounds like a no-brainer, but we often think in terms of going through the existing missionary force that is out there in the world. But in reality, there's 2.2 billion believers in the world. 2.2 billion people who would say they're a Christian, of some magnitude, some that are all in, some that are very nominal, some that are very light, some that are Roman Catholic, some that are Pentecostal, some that are Presbyterian, all over the map.
Right.
But the reality is we have to pivot our language in a way that helps us as a ministry to make sure that we are catalyzing more and more and more of those 2.2 billion believers into action. We have to recognize that God, when someone said yes to following Jesus, that was their moment of opting into the mission. Mm-hmm. And so now it's just a matter of providing them with the tools and the resources to help them go do the very thing that God has called them to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about providing a tool that can be used by people who already understand that they're supposed to be part of God's missional work in the world. It's about providing a tool that helps existing believers also to become reawakened to what they have already opted into as a part of God's work in the world.
Yeah.
See, it's not, we have, it's almost as if we sometimes feel that we act as if God has mobilized the largest army in human history, but decided to send just 1% to the front lines. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true. His calling on every single one of us is the calling that we opted into when we said yes to following him. And that's the Great Commission for our right in our own backyards and all the way around the world. I think that's a big piece of this for Jesus Film Project and for us as we're building up this, as this new film is coming out, we're realizing more and more and more, we need to be able to develop this as a tool that can serve the local believer who's just trying to step into sharing their faith and introducing somebody to the Christian life in a new way, who maybe has never done it before, or maybe barely understands that that's what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so that involves understanding who those people are. That involves speaking to them strategically. It involves taking a cue from our Lord and Savior, who knew enough to come upon two brothers in a boat and speak to them about being fishers of men, right? He contextualized his own message to that audience at that time, and then came to a woman at a well and spoke to her about being living water. Mm-hmm. This is marketing 101. This is messaging 101. And Jesus knew it hands down. And even to the example of Paul at the Areopagus, who takes his time to study the culture and then speaks to them of the unknown God, one of their own statues, even quoting some of their own poets, right? We need to do a better job, I would say, as a larger body, of helping to make sure that every person who has said yes to following Jesus understands how to take the skills, giftings, talents, and passions that he has already given them and give them the tools to take all of that and go and do his work. And so for us, when we talk about mobilizing millions to reach billions, it is really about what is it going to take to get the millions and millions of believers around the world who have already said yes to following Jesus, to actually give them the tools to actively follow his mission on earth.
I just had my friend Brian Fisher on the show this week, and he runs a ministry called Soil and Roots, and talks a lot about what Dallas Willard talked a lot about in his book, The Great Omission, and this idea that we have really kind of defaulted on, not defaulted, but jettisoned the obedience to the Great Commission to really the pulpit and the 1% that you talk about, and that invitation to be a part of this redemptive story of God inviting us into that narrative, to partner with him in that, to partner with him in the Great Commission. That's the priesthood of all believers. Like, it's an invitation for all of us, not just a select few. And so what you're saying is this tool is a tool that says, hey, we want to give a tool to all believers to be able to jump in and participate and take part in this Great Commission invitation.
Absolutely, Zach. I had a seminary professor. This statement may offend some, and my apologies if it does. I had a seminary professor one day who stopped the class, and he had been in the mission field for years in some of the deepest jungles and doing some of the most amazing work, Bible translation and everything else. And he said, you know, after 50 years of being right in the center of so much of the Great Commission and really trying to do all that I could with our family and everything else, he goes, I've come to understand what I believe to be the biggest barrier to the advancement of the Great Commission in all of human history. And of course, the entire class is now leaning in. We're saying, what is he going to say? And he says, the greatest barrier to the advancement of the Great Commission was the invention of full-time clergy. Mm. He said, because as soon as it became one person's job, the rest of us sat on the sidelines and let that person run with it. Mm-hmm. When actually it was our job as well.
Right.
It was, ouch. It was that moment of, it's so right. It's not just about someone who says I'm full time. There is no part time. Like, if you're all in with your whole life, mm-hmm. we're all in. So that's really a mm-hmm. core of who we're trying to equip through this film as well.
That's cool. What are some of the challenges that you guys face distributing a film like this?
Probably the biggest challenge we face has also allowed us to be awakened to one of the greatest assets that God has put in place for this film. You know, Jesus Film Project is a part of the larger ministry globally of Campus Crusade for Christ. And so around the world, the Campus Crusade for Christ ministries have somewhere close to 100,000 volunteers and staff. In every country, I mean, stretch across every country of the face of the earth. That distribution mechanism, being able to make sure that the film gets into every place, is going to be a tremendous asset. In part because the biggest hurdle we've faced so far in terms of distribution is that a lot of the traditional distribution mechanisms that exist come with exclusivity agreements. So if I'm going to give the film over to a certain distribution company and they're going to put it in theaters in a certain country, they want exclusive rights to that film so they can remake their investment. Depending upon how long they want their exclusive rights to, it would cripple potential ministry use of the film in that country for whatever period of time that distributor has exclusive rights to the film. So if they say, hey, we get exclusive rights, we'll put it in theaters, but we want exclusive rights to the film for a year, then local ministry partners, pastors, churches couldn't use it for free for a year. And that's just not the heart of what we want to do with this. We want to create the film and we want to give it away as freely and as widely as possible, as quickly as possible. We recognize that in some places there's going to be these exclusivity agreements that come in. But in those cases, we're aiming for things that are matters of weeks, wherever possible, as opposed to anything that's going to really inhibit this from being, or prohibit this from being used for ministry actively. That's probably been our biggest challenge. Hmm.
What are some of the ways that you're solving that challenge?
Yeah, more than anything, we've been looking to bespoke distribution agreements. So country by country, we are in the process of building up a country by country marketing strategy to distribute and market the film in every country, based on should it be theatrical release in this country, or does a streaming release make more sense? What are the mechanisms? Theatrical releases really only make sense in maybe a couple dozen countries or less. The rest, you're talking about streaming platforms. You're talking about premium streaming services. You're talking about free streaming services and all the mix that goes into that. So we're looking at really a bespoke arrangement that will allow us to get the film out there as broadly as possible in contextually and culturally the ways that make the most sense country by country.
That's cool. Last question. When does this thing release?
It's a great question. We are targeting December 2025 right now as our release date. That's still a long ways away. And there's any number of things that can pop up in the meantime, but that's our target. And of course the team is actively working toward that. So, it is in God's hands and also the very capable, hands of a great production team who are guided by his work and word. So, that's our target.
That's cool. Jeff, can I pray for you as we wrap up?
Thank you, Zach. Yes, please.
Father, just thank you for Jeff and, his willingness to come on the show and share what you're doing through Jesus Film Project and this new film, the animated version. Lord, I pray that you would just be with him and his team as they prepare for this release and continue to refine the film and wrap this thing up. I pray that you would just be in it at every step of the way and that the final product would be a blessing to you and a powerful resource and tool for your kingdom and for believers to share and testify of how good and great you are in this redemptive story that you're inviting us all into, this relationship you're inviting us all into. Lord, thank you for Jeff and his team and their willingness to say yes to that invitation, and pray that you would guide and lead and provide wisdom and clarity as they continue to press forward on this project. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeff, as we wrap up today, how can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more? How can they follow along as the project proceeds? Where can they get more information?
Thanks, Zach. The best place to find more information or to stay connected to the film or any of us involved in the film is going to jesus.film. That's the website, jesus.film. You can click the Stay Connected button on the top and get more information about how to stay connected.
Sweet. I'll make sure to put those in the show notes. Jeff, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Zach. Have a good one.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ministry Growth Show. If you've enjoyed it, we'd appreciate it if you rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a story or expertise to share with other ministry directors and pastors, or know someone who would be a great guest for the show, let us know. We love connecting with ministry executives and sharing their wisdom and insight with our audience. Just send us an email at podcast@reliantcreative.org. And lastly, if you need help telling your ministry's story, we would love to share how we can help in that process. Check out Reliant Creative at reliantcreative.org and book a call today. See you next time.